Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care. Nahastan anila nijonne go shavothya, nijonne go shavothya. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Hey, y'all!
Music from the drum Blackstone off the Canyon Records CD entitled Back in the Day. The name of that song was Dances for the Elders, in honor to our Native elders. In Indigenous people's societies, our elders are greatly honored and respected for their wisdoms and knowledge. Elders guide all aspects of tribal life. They govern tribal law and codes of conduct. Elders conduct spiritual and traditional ceremonies, which ensure our cultural lifeways to remain strong. Importantly, elders teach traditional ethics, Native values passed down from generation to generation. It is a pedagogy that promotes concern for Mother Earth, reverence for all life, and respect for all peoples. This way of life philosophy is very much needed in the modern world. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Today's broadcast is Program 3 of our special Wolf Mountain Radio series, Defending Human Dignity, Human Rights, Voices from Amnesty International. This program series shares conversations with fellow participants I spoke with at the 2009 Amnesty International USA Florida statewide meeting. Yad Kiddushi Native Center is not only dedicated to fighting for Native rights, especially sovereignty and self-determination of Indigenous peoples throughout the world, but also fighting for the dignity, justice, equality, and human rights of all peoples. Human rights have always been a basic principle of Indigenous societies. Native cultural spiritual lifeways have ethics and traditional laws that have always ensured dignity, equality, and justice within our tribes. The sacred Quahog Wampum treaty belts of Eastern Woodland Indians, such as my Wabanaki people, exemplify how our ancient codes of conduct guide and teach each generation to have reverence for all life, as well as concern and respect for all peoples. Historically, human rights in Western societies have generally been categorized into 5 focused areas: civil, political, cultural, economic, and social rights. We at Yad Kiddushi Native Center, like other Native peoples, consider the health of our Mother Earth, the well-being of our planet's environment, an equally important universal right. Universal rights, as defined in the 1948 Universal Declaration of Human Rights, should be the promise of everyone. Unfortunately, even now, in 2009, 61 years since that historic declaration, many people do not have full human rights. Indigenous peoples, women, children, some religious communities, and a number of marginalized minority populations are examples of those who are often denied full human rights. On December 10, 1948, the United Nations General Assembly, Resolution 217A, adopted and proclaimed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It consists of a preamble and 30 articles. Due to time constraints, I will only read the United Nations Declaration on Human Rights preamble. The full text is available online by a Google search of Universal Declarations of Human Rights, UDHR. Universal Declaration of Human Rights, preamble. Whereas recognition of the inherent dignity and of the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family is the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world. Whereas disregard and contempt for human rights have resulted in barbarous acts which have outraged the conscience of mankind, and the advent of a world in which human beings shall enjoy freedom of speech and belief and freedom from fear and want has been proclaimed as the highest aspiration of the common people. Whereas it is essential, if man is not to be compelled to have recourse as a last resort to rebellion against tyranny and oppression, that human rights should be protected by the rule of law. Whereas it is essential to promote the development of friendly relations between nations. Whereas the peoples of the United Nations have in the Charter
reaffirm their faith in fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of the human person, and in the equal rights of men and women, and have determined to promote social progress and better standards of life and larger freedom. Whereas member states have pledged themselves to achieve, in cooperation with the United Nations, the promotion of universal respect for and observance of human rights and fundamental freedoms. Whereas a common understanding of these rights and freedoms is of the greatest importance for the full realization of this pledge. Now, therefore, the General Assembly proclaims this Universal Declaration of Human Rights as a common standard of achievement for all peoples and all nations, to the end that every individual and every organ of society, keeping this declaration constantly in mind, shall strive by teaching and education to promote respect for these rights and freedoms, and by progressive measures, national and international, to secure their universal and effective recognition and observance, both among the peoples of member states themselves and among the peoples of territories under their jurisdiction. And that was the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Preamble. Violations of human rights are often perpetrated by governments or non-state actors that carry out various forms of abuse. Several examples include disappearances, when people are taken and their situation or location is concealed. The U.S. government's rendition policy is such an example. Torture and other forms of cruel or degrading treatment or punishment. Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq is such an example. Detention of political prisoners, often held without a fair or speedy trial, or a sham trial process that doesn't follow rules of jurisprudence, is an example. The case of Native American political prisoner Leonard Peltier exemplifies this. Return of refugees or those seeking political asylum to countries they fled from place those persons at great risk and usually subject to abuse. Transfer of persons from one country to another, often done by military or intelligence agencies where the recipient country undertakes human rights abuse. Excessive use of force by law enforcement, including profiling people on the basis of race or ethnicity. Forced military conscription, such as using children in armed conflicts, as seen in various wars around the world. Deliberate, arbitrary, and indiscriminate killings done by government soldiers or guerrilla fighters. Murder of innocent villagers, like I saw in Guatemala, is an example. The actions of corporations working with governments. The case of Shell Oil and Nigerian officials killing Ogoni organizer Ken Sawawiwa and other Ogoni tribesmen. Discrimination and xenophobia towards cultural or religious minorities, as well as serious gender restrictions and harsh practices towards women. For example, honor killings of women by men. This is why it is necessary to be a part of the worldwide movement for peace, justice, dignity, and human rights. This is why organizations such as Amnesty International is such an important global network of people who care about human dignity and freedoms. Yad Kiddushi Native Center shares Amnesty International's vision of a world in which every person enjoys all of their human rights enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other international human rights standards. This is why Yad Kiddushi Native Center has been a longtime supporter of Amnesty International. This year, I had the honor to attend Amnesty International USA Florida statewide meeting. The Florida statewide meeting was very special due to the fact that the majority of organizers and participants were students and youth. In previous national and state Amnesty International conferences I've attended over the years, there have often only been a few young people in attendance. Yad Kiddush Native Center considers it vitally important to listen and encourage young people. This is why I accompanied a number of students from Florida Gulf Coast University, where I am a lecturer and curriculum advisor. I especially want to thank my young friend, Rob Manaus, a volunteer coordinator of Amnesty International here in Southwest Florida. I encourage all of our worldwide listeners to visit Amnesty International's website to learn more about Amnesty International's history, mission, and specific campaigns. I urge people to join Amnesty International to become part of the worldwide movement for human rights for all of humanity. Amnesty International's website is www.amnesty.org. Once again, Amnesty International's website is www.amnesty.org. Please listen now to Wolf Mountain Radio's conversation, Voices from Amnesty International. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Yad Kiddush Native Center considers cultural, social, racial, gender, and age diversity a very important need in progressive justice movements. Yad Kiddush Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio's Defending Human Dignity, Human Rights series has tried to honor this special respect by interviewing a diversity of Amnesty International conference participants. Previously, we spoke with two high school students, with an African-American human rights activist and educator, and a young woman social economic activist community organizer. My guest here now is an elder with many years of promoting human dignity, human rights. I am pleased to welcome Anita Wanda to Wolf Mountain Radio. One very important way people who care about human rights, who can really help, is to be a freedom writer. Freedom writers commit themselves to sending letters of support for people Amnesty International terms individuals at risk. AI's campaign for individuals at risk over the years has helped more than 44,000 persons be released from prison, saved from torture, and protected from death threats. Letter writing campaigns shed light on the many injustices and mistreatments inflicted on people throughout the world from the actions of judicial courts, law enforcement agencies, and prisons in countries all over the globe. The case of Native American political prisoner Brother Leonard Peltier, an injustice of 33 years, is a good example of the importance of writing letters of support for justice. Without freedom letters, Leonard and many other political prisoners and prisoners of conscience around the world would be off the public radar screen, unheard and perhaps forgotten by many. Freedom writers shed light on violations of civil liberties and human rights. The dark practices of illegal spying, detention, and secret transport of persons known as rendition, done by national intelligence and security agencies, is a particularly serious issue. Letter writing campaigns have helped many refugees seeking political asylum. Freedom writing has aided refugees from being deported back to countries that often will imprison, torture, and even kill returnees. All of the above reasons is why Yad Kiddush Native Center participates in many Amnesty International's campaign for individuals at risk. Like my guest Anita Wand, we urge everyone to likewise keep updated on the situations of individuals at risk and support Amnesty International's campaign by being a freedom writer. It is now my pleasure to welcome Anita Wand to Wolf Mountain Radio. To begin our conversation, in addition to you providing a brief introduction of yourself, Anita, would you please share your thoughts about being at this Amnesty International conference?
Hello, everyone. My name is Anita Winder. I live in Inverness, Florida, and I am attending the Florida statewide meeting for Amnesty International, and I am a freedom writer. Basically, that means I write 3 to 4 letters per month, basically to release political prisoners throughout the world. I send a letter to the consulates or embassies, very grassroots level campaign. I have been terribly enthused by the amount of positive ideas, people that really care about the indignations to our human rights globally. Very excited about the amount of young people here that are associated with different universities, different cultures, and different backgrounds. It's brought me out of my isolation, because I am a lone, solitary writer, into the worldwide effort. So hopefully this will progress for me to make me a stronger, more caring person.
Anita, the fact that you are a freedom writer and are here participating at this Amnesty International conference is proof that you are a strong and caring person. I honor you for this. I very much appreciate your concern for human rights, especially since you are an elder. In Western society, most people of your age group are often more focused on retirement living rather than being political activists. I often like to ask the people I meet who are concerned about the well-being of our planet, the well-being of humanity, what motivated you and what continues to encourage you to get involved in the movement for peace, justice, dignity, and human rights. I think it is very important for white people, without meaning any disrespect to your ethnicity, to not only care about inequality and injustice, but necessary to stand up and fight against any and all abuses and crimes against any group of people. Being a Native person growing up in what's now called America, experiencing racism, discrimination, and xenophobia from non-Indian society instilled in me a great concern for equality, social justice, and human rights. Working for many years with other people of color and building alliances in order to protect our cultures and communities from various abuses and injustices has also played an important reason for my human rights work. Since my service as a U.S. Peace Corps Environment Program volunteer, I've had the opportunity to travel to many places in the world, seeing and speaking out against severe poverty, cultural, social, economic, environmental injustice, and violations of human rights. It is also important to mention that being raised in a tribal society, it is our cultural paradigm to have reverence for Mother Earth, which in turn encourages one to defend the well-being of all life for future generations. These are the reasons why my life has been dedicated to being an activist for Mother Earth and humanity. Anita, what is your reason for being a human rights activist?
I think what motivated me the most was that both my parents were born in this country, but my grandparents came from the European area. I was taught that all people walk the earth together, all people are created equal, and I was born and raised in the time of the civil unrest in the South, the days of Martin Luther King, and I was taught to think basically on the left side of things, that all people are created equal, and to fight for that. I have a lifelong pursuit of hoping some days to see everyone walk the face of the earth happily together, equally, without violence.
Anita, I want to sincerely thank you for your longtime human rights work, especially your efforts as a freedom writer. I know many of the students and youth here at Amnesty's conference very much appreciated your special insights into human rights issues. Personally, as I previously mentioned, I think it is very, very important to not only have cultural and gender diversity in the human rights social justice movement, but equally important, diversity of age groups. Young people need to learn from elders and those of us who have been activists for many years. Likewise, we older folks need to listen to, learn from, and encourage young people to be the leaders of the future. This last question I wish to ask you is one I often like to ask my Wolf Mountain Radio program guests. My question is, do you have hope for the future? There are so many serious issues facing humanity. Given the history of human civilizations, one must wonder if we can restore the damage to our planet so that everyone has a universal right for a healthy environment. Given the track record of colonialism, war, hunger, poverty, racism, sexism, human rights violations, and economic globalization, as well as the many other human injustices I could continue to mention, can there be peace, justice, equality, dignity, and universal human rights? There are many indications that these problems are getting worse in the new millennium. Do you have hope for the future?
I do believe things are changing for the better, considering what I saw on the television, black and white TV, in 1963 when I was a child, compared to what's going on today. Yes, I think the United States and globally, we're moving into a much better frame of consciousness, a much greater respect for each other. And I especially am very heartwarmed and very encouraged by the demonstration of the young folk today that I see here today and elsewhere. It's very encouraging. I think the old prejudices are dying off. I'm hoping, and even in my lifetime, I think I've seen quite a change. So I'm hoping for the best.
There were spirits that came from heaven that gathered round him when he died. And all the white folks talked about him. And Miss Coretta, she cried. Some have dreams and some see visions, but there are few who walk the talk. Martin, the light shone all around you as you led them through the dark. And they might kill one lonely preacher, but they will never kill the man. There is still the walk towards freedom, footsteps of one black African. Stoned him down in Selma, locked him in a cell in Birmingham, just like a man he admired, born long ago in Bethlehem. He sent the call to all the people against the ways of the Ku Klux Klan. He gave his life for the children and for the future of a troubled land. And they might kill one lonely preacher, but they will never kill the man. still the walk towards freedom. Footsteps of one black African. They might kill a lonely preacher, but they will never kill the man. There is still the walk towards freedom. Footsteps of one black.
Music from Native American singer-songwriter Mitch Walking Elk off his cassette recording entitled Peace with Dignity. The name of that song was Footsteps of One Black African, an honor song to the great civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King was very loved by Native American and indigenous peoples throughout the world. In addition to his dedicated work for civil rights, for racial equality, for socioeconomic justice, for poor people, Dr. King also spoke out against the Vietnam War and other harmful U.S. foreign policies, despite it being unpopular in the black communities to speak out against the U.S. administration. Dr. King's nonviolent civil disobedience means of fighting racism, discrimination, and segregation taught many of us a way to combat many forms of injustice. Dr. King is a hero to us here at Yad Kiddushin Native Center. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushin Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. I am here at the 2009 Amnesty International USA Florida Statewide Conference. I have the privilege to be speaking with various participants about issues of human dignity, human rights. My next guest is Ms. Stephanie Parenti. She is president of the Amnesty International chapter here at Valencia Community College. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio. Before you give her greetings to our worldwide listeners, let me first express my sincere appreciation to you and your fellow students here on campus for hosting this Amnesty International meeting.
My name is Stephanie Parenti. I am the president of Valencia's chapter of Amnesty International. I am a peace studies major, so human rights are my main focus and concentration in everything that I do. I think that Amnesty stands for great focus on rights and everything that they do, civil rights, social rights, economic rights, everything like that that we've been talking about today. I hope to educate everyone here and get them more involved in what's going on, especially the young people, because that's going to be our new generation. They need to know what's going on for the future.
Stephanie, your last comment regarding the importance of young people being concerned about human dignity, human rights, peace, and justice is certainly a sentiment I consider very, very important. As I mentioned to you, I tried to encourage students to care about these ethics as a curriculum advisor and lecturer at Florida Gulf Coast University. This is why I accompanied a number of FGCU students to this year's Amnesty International Conference. Yad Kiddushin Native Center, the intertribal organization that I am director of, also networks with many students and youth organizations in order to support young people's activism and leadership in these important planetary issues. Stephanie, how do you feel about people of your generation? Do you think many college students across the country are concerned enough about the situations facing humanity?
My generation, I think, is not quite as active as I would like them to be. I do have hope for the future, otherwise I would not be in the line of work that I am. But it is very important to realize that the things that are going on now, and then have been going on for the past 50 years even, are going to be focused on our generation later. Like, the global warming crisis is going to be put on our shoulders in the future. Human rights violations that are going on now are going to be put on our shoulders in the future. My father, too, is a Native American who is a member of an Ojibwe tribe in Minnesota. He focuses on Native American indigenous rights that are being acted against them and how they're being treated, everything like that. And as somebody who's been focused on that type of thing, I think it's very important to take from what you learn around you, like networking here at Amnesty International's Florida State Meeting, and just learning what we can do later for things that have been happening for hundreds of years.
Stephanie, I often like to ask program guests, what was the reason or reasons you became concerned about important justice issues? What motivated you to be politically active? I, like your father, being an indigenous person, growing up in a North American society that was racist towards Native peoples, knowing the colonial history of oppression and efforts to destroy our cultural, spiritual lifeways by U.S. government-forced assimilation attempts, and seeing the desecration and destruction of Native lands and waters are the reasons why, like your dad, I too am proud to be a justice warrior. I would also have to add that I am grateful to be of the generation when resistance movements, such as the American Indian Movement, the Black Panthers and civil rights activists, freedom fighters like the African National Congress, anti-war women's and environmental movements were forcing change. Your generation must now deal with issues of the 21st century, often termed globalization. So I'm always interested to know what it is that concerns and motivates young people like yourself to become activists.
I was always focused in politics, mostly American politics. I wanted to be a senator or something like that in the future. Started gaining more education on what was going on overseas, especially with the recent war on terrorism. And I just realized that I'm very privileged, and Americans are given many opportunities. And while I am focused on problems that are at home, I want to focus on international issues too, because it's very important to help those who cannot help themselves.
Stephanie, I'm sorry we don't have any more time now to talk further with each other. The next workshop sessions are about to start. I do want to thank you for sharing your thoughts here on Wolf Mountain Radio. I want to express my appreciation to you as a young person being involved in trying to create a better and more just world. I am proud of you as an Anishinaabe Native woman. I hope you continue to honor and care about your Ojibwa heritage. Before we go, let me ask you if you have any last comments to share with our worldwide listeners.
Absolutely. I'd just like to leave with a comment of saying that if you feel like you want to get involved, absolutely get involved. But don't leave it right there. Try to get other people involved too. Spread the knowledge, educate, get out there and do your thing.
There's no justice, we hear our people cry. There's no justice, you know we all will die. There's no justice, you know the reasons why. You know that justice is something you can buy. There's no justice for Peltier today. There's no justice for our brothers at White Clay. There's no justice for all of the Dene. Money and power will always have their say. There's no justice for the ancestors' bones. There's no justice when they're taken from their home. There's no justice, just leave those bones alone. The spirits need their peace, so they will not roam. There's no justice for Peltier today. There's no justice for our brothers at White Clay. There's no justice for all of the Dene. Money and power will always have their say. There's no justice.
justice for the Aborigines. There's no justice for you and for me. There's no justice, as all the world can see. Bigotry and hatred is the way it looks to be. There's no justice for Peltier today. There's no justice for our brothers at White Clay. There's no justice for all of the Dene. Money and power will always have their say. There's no justice on the Cherokee Res. There's no justice if the goons are cracking heads. There's no justice, so where are all the feds? Guess they're home in bed with the corporate heads. There's no justice for Peltier today. There's no justice for our brothers at White Clay. There's no justice for all of the Dene. Money and power will always have their say. Justice in the courtrooms of today.
There's
no justice if some lawyers have their way.
Are you sure?
They say if you want justice, just give us all your pay.
Don't you know they don't give a damn anyway? There's no justice is cried out in the streets. There's no justice, say the people that you meet. If there's no justice, do we give up in defeat? No, we stand together, and injustice will be beat.
There was nothing around to ease my mind. And out of the are listening to Yatkidichi Native Center's Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Imagine there is a radio station working for a better world, social justice and human rights, independent broadcasting 24 hours a day. Radio for Peace International. We are giving voice to the voiceless.
The music you heard prior to our Yatkidichi Native Center program and RFPI station identification included first a song by contemporary Native American singers known as Spirit Wing off their CD entitled Ancient Spirit Voices. The name of their song, There's No Justice. That was followed by a tune from the All People Singers. The name of that song was Harriet Tubman, a tribute to the African slave woman, Harriet Tubman, who after her escape established a Freedom Trail network known as the Underground Railroad. I hope you enjoyed today's program, Defending Human Dignity, Human Rights, Voices from Amnesty International. Yatkidichi Native Center hopes our Wolf Mountain Radio program, Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, encourages everyone to care more for the well-being of all life on our biosphere, now and for future generations. A Native expression of this ethic is the Algonquin term Inadaziwin. There are various ways each individual may interpret Inadaziwin and find their path to work for a better world. My years of involvement with Amnesty International is one aspect of following the meaning of Inadaziwin. I urge all of our Wolf Mountain Radio listeners to become members of Amnesty International. I think AI's mission statement's first paragraph exemplifies Amnesty International's importance in the world. Quote, "We are people from across the world standing up for humanity and human rights. Our purpose is to protect people wherever justice, freedom, truth, and dignity are denied. We investigate and expose abuses, educate and mobilize the public, and help transform societies to create a safer, more just world. We received the Nobel Peace Prize for our life-saving work," unquote. To learn more about Amnesty International, please visit AI's website, www.amnesty.org. Those who live in what's now called the United States can visit Amnesty USA's website, www.amnestyusa.org. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I want to conclude today's program with a song by Native flutist Mary Youngblood, accompanied by Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah. The song is from Mary's Silverwave record CD, Heart of the World, referring to the name the indigenous Uwa people call their homeland. The song is entitled Song for Ingrid. It honors Menominee Indian warrior Ingrid Washinawatok and two other special people, Terence Freitas and Lahani Gay, all three murdered in 1999 for their human rights work with the Native Uwa Nation in what's now called Colombia, South America. Ingrid, Terence, and Lahani were assisting in the building of a school for the Uwa. Their human rights work also included helping the Uwa Nation defend their sacred land from exploitive energy development, an example of environmental social injustice, one of the many impacting indigenous peoples throughout the world. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kinon One Takwasin, to all of our relations.
Galuyage. Galuyage. Thank you.